Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved you with his life. Amen, and so be it. Growing up, every Friday, when I was in elementary and middle school, that I can remember, well, maybe not every, but most, my family, my mom, dad, myself, and my sister Kate, we'd have a family movie night. There would be pizza and popcorn and a whole wide selection of DVDs. You remember those DVDs? Or maybe the precursors to those, the VHS tape? I still am old enough to remember those and rewinding them before watching a movie. And there was something magical about VHS and DVDs that I kind of miss. And maybe if you remember watching movies in the mid to late 2000s, this is a phrase that's familiar to you that showed before you got to the option screen. Coming soon to own on DVD and video. Maybe you've heard that before. And after that would roll a preview. A preview to get you excited about a movie that was about to come out. It was giving you a foretaste, a little glimpse, a glimmer, whetting your appetite for what was next. And oftentimes, my sister and I were like, that's the movie we want to watch next, as soon as we can get our hands on it. Previews whet our appetites. They prepare us for the greater movie that is to come, the story that's going to unfold. But have you ever had a preview that hyped up a movie and the movie just fell flat? It didn't meet the expectations that the preview had prepared you for. But then there are other previews that just did a remarkable job of getting you ready, and then you saw the movie and it just exceeded your every expectation. Our Old Testament reading this morning, I can't help see, but as a preview. It's whetting our appetite for what is to come. So I want to take you into that story for a few moments this morning to think about all that is unfolding. It's the third day. Abraham and his son Isaac are looking out over the mountains as the sun is rising. The sun, but the sky is a little pink and orange. As the sun rises and the birds are starting to chatter, yet Abraham's heart feels heavy. Isaac is anticipating and filled with life, a young boy. But there's a solemnness to Abraham this morning. They've been journeying with two servants. They've had some provisions. They brought the fire and the knife and the wood. And it's time, and Abraham turns to his two servants and says, "We will be back. We will be back." Now, how did we get to this point of the story? So for a moment, we need to take the remote and skip back a few scenes to earlier in the life of Abraham and his beloved bride, Sarah. See, Abraham was about to turn 100 years old and Sarah 90. These were not young whippersnappers anymore, but yet they had no children. And God came to Abraham. God spoke, and Abraham said, "Here I am." And God told Abraham, "Abraham, I am going to give you and your wife Sarah a son." And Abraham, in his joy, in this promise that he had been waiting for, this joy that erupted through him, he laughed with great anticipation of, "God, you're crazy. Look at me, look at my bride. We are old and advanced in years, and yet you say we are going to have a son?" I'm amazed. And Sarah's overhearing this entire interaction. And she too herself is thinking, I am 90 years old and I am going to have a son? My joy is going to be complete? I can't believe it. So often I think we take Sarah's laughter as disbelief. But what if it was belief? Of this crazy thing that God was about to do, this impossible thing that he was going to bring to fruition. And Sarah, who was not supposed to overhear this conversation, God says to her, Sarah, I heard you laugh. Sarah's like, no, I didn't. God says, yes, you did. She says, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. Yeah, you're right. I did laugh. And God, being in on the joke like he is, says, you're going to name your son Yitzhak. Isaac. He laughs. He laughs. What a crazy God we have. What a loving God we have who's in on this joke that in their advanced age that they would have a son. Isaac, he laughs. And this promise dates back even further when God told Abram and Sarah, before he changed their names, to leave their homeland in Ur and to go to the land that he would show them, where he would make them a great nation, where they would have descendants without number. And now, here, Isaac, God is bringing his promise to fruition. But now, God has called up Abraham once again. And Abraham has responded, here I am. And God says to Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering to the Lord. What is happening? This was the promise. What kind of sick and twisted joke is going on here, God? What are you doing? This is unheard of. This is unacceptable. But yet that's not how Abraham responds. What do you think he said to Sarah? What do you think their conversation after dinner was like that evening after Isaac was tucked in bed? And he tells Sarah, God called. And Sarah, having known the things he said in the past, maybe knows better than to ask, well, what did he say this time? And there's a somberness that seeps into the household, and a longing gaze as Sarah looks at her son sleeping that night, knowing that in the morning, Abraham and Isaac will depart. And so we come to the third day. The sun rising, Abraham and Isaac with the two servants leaving them behind, and Isaac turns and says, we will be back. We. What an incredible faith. Abraham relying on the promises, saying that through Isaac, you will have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham's faith is so deep that he believes, even though God has asked him to sacrifice his son, that God can raise the dead. And so Abraham sets out in faith, faith in the promise that God has spoken to him. And so he lays the wood across his son Isaac's shoulders, and Isaac shoulders that wood as a man might shoulder a shovel and carry it. And Abraham holds the fire and the knife. And Isaac, being the intelligent young man that he is, turns and says to Abraham, "My father?" "Yes, my son. Behold, the fire and the knife. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" The Lord will provide a lamb for himself for the sacrifice, my son. And that was enough. And I can only imagine the silence that they walked in as they walked up Mount Moriah. And Abraham constructed an altar. And then Abraham binds his son Isaac. And the son goes uncomplaining forth. There is no word exchanged between these two that we have recorded in Scripture. And Isaac bound lays on the altar built to the Lord God. And Abraham takes the knife in his hand, and he raises the knife over his head, ready to pierce his son. And just as he is ready to drop his hands, the angel of the Lord appears. And in urgency, he says, "Abraham, Abraham!" And Abraham, all too ready to answer at this point, says, "Here I am. Do not lay your hand on your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac." And I can only imagine the haste at which Abraham tosses that knife aside and rushes to his son and unties him and grabs his hands and touches his side and beholds his son. His only son. What joy it must have been to hold Isaac again, even though he was not taken from him, to see that he was alive. It was as if he was raised from the dead, even though he had not passed from this life to the next. And then, as they embrace, behold, behind them, a ram in a thicket encircled in thorns. The Lord provides a sacrifice. And Abraham and Isaac sacrifice that ram on Mount Moriah and give thanks to the Lord God that he has indeed provided. Now, Mount Moriah is mentioned one other time in Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. When it is mentioned, it is the place where the temple of the Lord is to be built by Solomon. And so Solomon constructs the temple on Mount Moriah, where numerous, innumerable animal sacrifices will be made in the presence of the Lord God, where blood will be spilled for the atonement of God's people, where the presence of God will dwell. And it is on this mountain, Mount Moriah, you know it better by its other name, Zion. And it is on this mountain where our Lord Jesus will come. And it is on a mountain not all that far away, a stone's throw, Mount Calvary, where Jesus will take the wood of the cross upon his shoulders, and where he, where his Father, will take his Son, his only Son whom he loves, Jesus, the Christ. Where the altar of the cross, the blood of Jesus will spill out, and there will be no angel from heaven crying out, "Abraham, Abraham." There will be no stopping this sacrifice. The sacrifice will be made in full. It will not be stopped on Calvary, on Golgotha, the place of the skull. I couldn't have scripted Bible class better this morning than if I had planned it. It's like you knew what we were going to hear this morning. The blood of Christ spilled for you, his flesh pierced for you. And now I want to take you a step back yet one more time to the scene of Abraham and Isaac, because the angel of the Lord is present as he calls out, "Abraham, Abraham." And as the history of the church has looked back at scriptures and seen the angel of the Lord, it has been believed and proclaimed that the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. So imagine that scene. The pre-incarnate Christ present at Mount Moriah as Abraham is about to forsake his son. And there he will halt that sacrifice and provide another. A substitute. Knowing all too well that that is exactly where he will be. For you and for me. For Abraham and Isaac and all the world. Christ Jesus, presence on an altar of wood, a forsaken, cursed tree for you. And so in Lent, we find ourselves continually at the foot of the cross, looking to Jesus, whose sacrifice was not halted, but came to perfect completion as the Lamb provided for you and for me on the cross of Calvary, at Golgotha, the place of the skull. This is the promise for you. That your sacrificial lamb has been sacrificed and needs not be sacrificed again. It is paid in full. Tetelestai. This is for you and for your children and for your children's children. We who are now brought into the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the family of the church, united by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. The sacrifice the Lamb provided is Christ Jesus, and it is for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all.